All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about that transition time when you're talking spring, the spawn's done, post-spawn, spring into late spring, you know, just before the live bait really starts biting, but you're going to start seeing some of that live bait, bite. So we're going to kind of do the transition, the early transition, because there's other transitions throughout the year with the fish, but we're talking right now that late spring transition.
You guys were just out the other day, but this year I've kind of seen it a lot more than in previous years, you know, like a definite, almost like a defined line, you know, kind of like a line in the sand, right?
I was there last year on that same lake because I got to fish it enough that I was out there, you know, four times a week that I definitely noticed the transition because what was working this week, next week, I'm like, damn, what happened? You know?
Yeah. I noticed.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Sliding towards other types of bites. We went from that crankbait, lead core, you know, kind of up on the edges, then down into the basin during the day bite to where now they're, you know, all sorts of different things are starting to work. Of course, as the fish gets active, that's, you know, you would think that would happen, but you know, I just have seen it where it just kind of stopped, and then you know, not completely, but other things have started to pick up and become more productive.
So I mean, that's what we're talking about when we're saying transition is not necessarily the fish moving to a different area. It can be, of course, but it's almost more they're just starting to heat up more. They're starting to go after different baits and to where like live bait starts to come into play. If you're a live bait guy, like I am.
Well, I mean, I think we're getting to that point where we can start doing, you know, slip bobbers on structure because they're going to start to school up and you can get that.
I still think we're a few weeks away from that.
See, I think we're right there. I think they're starting to get to that point. I mean, but that's what I mean. Like, I think this year feels a little different because I used to be able to start that slip by a bobber bite back kind of at the end of April. And I know we're not too
down in Pueblo, though. Are you talking Pueblo?
This was right here. I was taking my son out and, you know, I mean, that's what he likes to do. And so I'd be like, okay, let's stop what we're doing and we'll go do this for a little bit. And the last two or three years, even that mid, because it used to be right around that tournament time, that first tournament, we would go out, like, you know, if the tournament was that weekend, we'd go out sometime that week after and slip bobber humps, you know, mainline humps where it would come up. And we wouldn't slip bobber on the top of the hump like you would, like, you know, as it gets warmer, more active. We would slip bobber off the side of the base.
Yeah, that makes more sense because I was thinking when you're saying fishing the structure, like you're on top of it, like some of those. Yeah. But yeah, I understand what you're saying on that. So, Mitch, what are you thinking about if 2 weeks ago you were fishing, which we were, and then we're gonna go next week, which we will. What are you gonna change up? I mean, 2 weeks ago the water temperature is around that 51 degrees. Now it's at 57. What are you gonna change up? It's the first week or two of May versus the last week or two of April.
Well, if I'm going to pull crankbaits, I'll probably speed it up a little bit. You know, I'm going to be 1.7, 1.8, even trying to, you know, kind of picking that speed up with the increased water temperature. But I don't know, even Saturday when you and I were out, we were pulling lead on the basin, pulling crankbaits. And, I could have easily switched over to pulling def. I felt it. I bet we could have got those fish to go on depth, but you know, you don't know. We're pulling, but it just seemed like, yeah, we're about to that time. So, you know, and I'm going to start pulling depth. I might start dragging jigs, but just kind of speed things up a bit, I think is what I would do.
I'll tell you this much, you know, I went out with you a couple of days ago now, but a day or two before that, I went out with Linda and that's what we did. As we pulled depth to start just to kind of see if the fish had moved up. It was more of an experiment. We were on that side of the lake where I've seen them transition before from some of those deeper water basins starting to move up, or you'll start seeing them up on coming up the sides of the roadbed and maybe up on top of the roadbed, but they weren't up on top. We didn't see them up on top, but they're definitely on that break. So I told Linda, I said, I'm going to see if they're going to go. And she didn't care less. She was reading a book. She's like, just let me know when there's one on, you know, but, because I've told her,
hey, I think kid again, Brad.
Well, I told her, I go, hey, I think they're in transition. I'm going to start working this roadbed. And she's like, okay. She could care less. I'm talking, telling her what I'm going to do. Which was funny. But anyway, so I said, I'm going to pull death on these breaks. And sure enough, caught a couple of fish within the first. We only pulled one area. I would say it was probably about a 20, 25 minute pull, you know. And we caught two, or I caught two. But I gave it to her, so she really caught two. And then I said, well, I'm going to go see if the basin trolling is going. And so we tried that, and I was not marking fish. Now, this is a different lake than we went to, but I was just kind of curious. I could not find the fish in the basin. I could only find them on the edges of the basin going up onto the roadbeds and whatnot. So I said, you know what, I'm going to try some of that shallower water, see if I can get them to go. And this was just probably about 45 minutes before it got dark. So I said, I'm going to pull boards for about the last 25, 30 minutes. So I put boards out, ran that shallower. I ran a couple deep and a couple in that 5-6 foot water column. And I was marking fish in that 7-8 feet of water, just pulling over probably about 18 or 19 and didn't get anything to go. But I know that those fish are transitioning because a week before that, when me and Josh were out, they were definitely in the basin floor. You know, we weren't finding anything on the ridges. So it's funny that if you're going out there this time of year, whether, you know, it's going to probably be a little bit different in Minnesota than it would be in Washington or Ohio or whatever. But think about that when you are out of post spawn and you've been catching fish in the basin on lead core, start watching their movements, because it's going to tell you where pretty soon it's going to be wide open. Just like Mitch said, they're going to be going. They're going to be putting the feed bags on and start going on all kinds of stuff.
Real quick. This just kind of hit me. So I'm thinking of, you know, my home state of Minnesota, and I think this next weekend's opener, you know, they've always got that closed window where we get to fish. I wonder how many of those guys are out there using their electronics to see where the fish are, see if the basin's still loaded, see if they do start, all of a sudden, you know, they go back a few days later, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there's no
fish. Oh, before they're fishing?
Yes, kind of getting ready for opener weekend. I'm just curious because, you see what you see. You know, and then
did you do that when you lived there?
No, not that I remember at all. It was always we'd go out at midnight because that's when the opener is at midnight that night. And well, you can imagine by the time we poured ourselves into the boat and headed out, we didn't catch very many fish on those.
Opener you were at the dock at 9 o'clock waiting 3 hours, and well, I got time to kill. You might as well have a beer or two.
Right.
Next thing you know, or
12.
Well, yeah, whatever. Right there.
Yeah.
I think that's the transition piece, right? Is I was out probably 4 days before you were, Brad, last week, I guess it's last week now. And
we were all out together. Or are you talking, because we all went out together. Was it right after that?
Yeah, okay. It was after that, a few days after that. I took the kids out and I wanted to see if we could find that jig bite starting. And I actually started to catch them on jigs. But it wasn't on top. It was at that break. It was at the base of that break. So where it would break up to that roadbed you're talking about, it would be at the base of it casting. I would sit on top of the roadbed, which was 6 to 8 feet, cast down to 15 to 18 feet and slowly start to bring it back. And as I started to bring it back, that's when I would get bit. If I tried to cast along the shallower top part of the road, I wouldn't get a fish. And so
really?
So that was the interesting part, because then I was the same as you guys, right? I could just feel that bottom bouncers and death were going to start. I had that feeling, right?
It's going. Like I said, me and Linda did it, you know,
Yeah.
So, well, I can't, the days all start to run together, but like 7 days ago, right? Mm-hmm. And it was going, I felt it too, man. It's like you say, you just know it's right there, you know?
Yeah.
And we went to some of our typical spots, you know, like our mid-May spots, even though it's the first week of May, you're like, here we go. They're going to be there. Well, not quite, but you know, it's right there. So you're getting that confidence. And I tell you what, when we were out a couple days ago, Mitch, we ended up pulling the basin because we did mark some good fish. We found some fish stacked up and we're like, they're still here. Let's fish these fish.
Yep.
And when we bumped up a little bit shallow, well, I guess we didn't leave fish to find fish. We were catching fish in that, and still trolling the basin or the edge of the basin. We didn't do a whole real well going through the middle of it, but we're on the edge of the basin to getting closer to those transition areas to where that break comes up. But we ended up seeing a handful of guys that we know out of the water that actually were, if they weren't fishing the shallow side, they were right on the edge of the break. Wouldn't you guess those guys on the east side, they had to be. Now, I would almost put them, because just knowing the lake, fishing it a million times, I would almost put them, just looking at them, just on the shallow side, maybe jigging into that deeper water or just getting those fish that are starting to slip up on top.
Well, and I think that might be the key, because remember, we went in, you know, that basin's right around 20 feet. We went in and did a big turn, and we were in, you know, probably around 15 feet up on top, and we didn't mark a fish. And that's why we even ran it for a while just to kind of check it out, and we didn't mark anything. And we were like, back to the basin, let's go. Because they're not
up here. Yeah, because it was only 300 yards away. We're like, no, let's go back where we're marking fish. But there was guys up there. And a couple times Mitch is like, oh, they got a net out. So fish, we're starting to transition up there.
But I think this whole conversation is, I think we have to focus on maybe just telling everybody what we mean by that transition. I mean, you know, unless they know exactly the lake we're talking about, they're all probably pretty lost by now. So, you know, we keep talking about shallower, deeper, or the transition area. I think the important part to know is that these fish are moving all the time right now. The fish are not that recoup after spawn and all that. If there even is such a thing, it's long over. They're out moving. They're not quite as schooled in the big wolf pack numbers that you'll see here in the next, you know, by June 1, it's going to be just big schools of fish just hammering. But they're out moving, looking, actively feeding, looking for, you know, groups of bait fish, whatever. And so I think that's the part when we say transition. I don't think you necessarily have to look for structure as your transition. I think the fish's behavior is more of a transition.
I think you can do it two ways. I don't think that it was confusing at all. I think that we were talking about basin fish starting to slide up shallow to keep that in perspective when you are looking at the fish and trying to find where those fish are moving. I completely agree with you, though, the transition into technique. That's what I think you're getting at, right, Josh, is changing your techniques, because the transition from just a lead core or a crank bite is now moving into being more versatile to where, like you talked a little bit about the slip bobber, but more of like a jig, dragging a jig, slow death, even a Lindy rig coming up pretty soon. Right. I mean, it would still probably work. Is that what you're talking about for your transit? The other part of transition?
But the fish itself, I think I'm kind of referring to the fish's mentality is transitioning. You know, they're going from that slower metabolism to that faster metabolism. The spawn is over. You know, so the second part of their life, right? They have two parts to life, spawn and eat. I mean, that's it. So,
well, and here's the thing, the bait fish are giant right now because there's no new bait fish. And so they're eating what they can eat. They just, like you just caught one a week or so ago. It had a 10-inch trout tail sticking out. I mean, the trout was like 10 inches. The tail is sticking out of its mouth. I think he even posted it. I can't remember, but they're eating. Like you said, they are finding food to eat right now.
Right, which I think makes them a little bit tougher to catch because they are scattered and they're moving. So like you guys said, one day you mark them in the basin and the next day you find them up at 15 feet and then maybe you don't find them up at 15 feet for, you know, a couple weeks. It doesn't mean that they're not there, but maybe they're there at night or, you know what I mean? So they're always moving. They're transitioning as well. A buddy of mine went and fished a lake here that has different types of bait. It's got shad, and it also has what's her face, rainbow smelt. And the smelt, he sent me a picture of he must have found one dead, or I think he caught a big rainbow and it might have coughed it up. But the smelt was probably about 3.5 inches long. You know, it was interesting to see that long, skinny bait. And then he showed me a picture of his graph, and it was full of bait balls, just these huge clouds of bait, right? Orange clouds all over his graph. And I think that's another indication of the fish transitioning, as well as, you know, us transitioning what we do to catch them. And so I think it's important that you can catch them several different ways. The question is what's going to produce the best fish? Because like we were talking about just before we started, we know guys were out catching fish on jigs, but they were small. A lot of them were small, right? Because those bigger ones are still, you know, maybe they're
they
not
haven't
right
got
on
there
the bottom.
Yet. They haven't
they're
got
roaming.
There.
And,
they're close.
Yeah.
But the little guys are going to give they're foreshadowed.
Always.
They're the next chapter. Always, if you're catching smaller fish, put that in your file, because the bigger fish will be there, especially not in the middle of the year, but when we're talking seasonal changes, the little fish will move in there first because they don't get chased out by the big fish. They're looking for opportunities.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So
they are, they're looking. Well, and I was thinking about our upcoming tournament, you know, the upcoming Colorado Walleye Trail tournament. And, you know, I know it's going to be a great jig bite. I know there's going to be a lot of 100%. Guys that catch fish on jigs. There's going to be guys that catch fish on bottom bouncers. It's going to be a good bottom bouncer bite. But I don't think you overlook the trolling some of those suspended fish with boards, because, you know, you might really have an opportunity to catch a big fish if you don't overlook that. And I think sometimes when the bite is so good and it's so hot that you overlook that those fish are still in that mode of looking for that bigger meal, right? And so you might only get 10 fish in a day as opposed to 50, but one of them may be 6 pounds, you know? And so I think that's what's interesting about this time of year, where we have that transition between you know, mid to late spring into early summer. We all know that early summer bite's going to be fire. We all know
it's always on fire.
It always
love
is,
it.
Right? Yep. And so that's the best time to take a kid fishing and get them hooked up with doing all kinds of things, right? That's awesome. But right now, I think there's so many different ways that you can catch fish. None of them are going to be completely on fire, but don't overlook them all still, you know? I mean, yep, you may be able to go, like Mitch, like you said, you would probably, my guess is you guys would go fish after your initial night where you barely made it out at midnight. You guys would probably go fish your spring spot, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what a graph or anything said, you would go to your spring spot and, you know, either start with probably slip bobbers or Lindy's or something. And mm-hmm. that's how you would start. And because that's the way it was every other spring.
Yep. Jigs and fatheads.
Yep. Every spring, right? And I think that's what a lot of guys do, especially in, you know, I think a lot of those Midwest lakes are just so loaded with fish that you can go do that, right? You can every year go do that, and the fish are going to show up because there's so many of them. But I think for a
lot
of
Is there any lakes out there in Minnesota, Mitch, that you can fish early or no? To be able to learn that transition, that pre-spawn, post-spawn type stuff?
Not game fish. So no walleyes, pike. Bass, that's all closed. So, you know, you've got your panfish. So a lot of guys are out fishing. If Mississippi River is open, you can fish that, but that's kind of a completely
different. It's a whole different environmental structure. Yeah.
Yep.
I was just curious.
Yeah. No, but I bet there's a lot of dudes just driving around looking at their sonar, getting ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're hunting, you know,
yeah,
you're going out and scouting. Yeah, you're scouting.
Yeah, totally.
We could do a whole podcast on scouting. Easy.
Yeah, I never mind. Stare at your sonar.
Yeah. Why you would get to it or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's the transition, right? I think as much as it's the transition as far as where they're moving, it's their mood and how you react to it.
Oh, 100%.
Let's just officially call this the transition. It's the spring one. It's when the fish are changing, we're changing, the techniques are changing. You know, during the day, now is a great example of those fish could be shallow in the morning and the evening, you know, low light conditions, or at night, where during the day they, a lot of them might slip back down to the basin to hang out during the day. So everything's changing right now.
And that's a great point too, because I know, Josh, if me and you were going out, we would probably, we would take in a different approach this time of year if we went out an hour after dark versus noon.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because they've transitioned through the day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. And those fish are still moving up into that shallow area for the bite, not only, you know, at night, but I think now they're starting to also be there during the day.
I think some of the resident fish are definitely gonna be there. They're there.
Yep.
Right.
They're coming up and they're going in there. So don't just think, oh, I got to do the fathead and the minnow, right? I got to do the fathead and the jig at 12 or 15 or 20 feet. Yes, there's fish there too. But those may be the small ones that beat the big ones there. So, I think there is definitely starting to be fish to be had. And
what happened there?
Like a light show.
It's on a timer because my kids never shut it off. So, they move up in. So, like you said, Brad, you get there first light, and you're fishing some of that. I would fish that shallower structure this time of year. First light, shallow structure, and then as the day starts to move, those fish may slide out a little bit or start to scatter and push, and then maybe that's where we switch to a bottom bouncer or a trolling crankbait, you know, presentation.
I agree with you. It's hard to know the shallow bite unless you just go try it, though, because you're not going to mark crap on your graph in 5 feet of water casting up to two, right? But we know from doing it there's fish there. What me and Mitch ran into the other a few days ago, we were out on the water, you know, 45 minutes after daylight. We were running a little bit late, but we still got out there early morning, right?
Yeah.
And we drove, I said, we're going right over by the tower. We're going to fish the basin. That's where we're going to start to see if there's fish there. We get there and it's just chock full. So we're like, we are not going to go cast right now. Let's see if these fish are active. Well, Mitch put out, I don't remember. Yeah, you put out your lead, putting out his second rod. Bam, went right away.
Yeah.
We're like, they're active. And we just kept catching them on there. So we never went in to do the shallow bite. So that's part of it, though, as anglers, you're like, you start catching fish, and we're catching quality fish, keepers, ones that are eaters for sure, 18 inches plus, you know, you're going to keep those fish. But if we would have moved in shallow and casted, would we got a 26? You know, you don't know, because they're definitely fish there. I think that once summer, at least early summer is there, it's easier to find those bigger fish shallow. There's still plenty of fish shallow. I'm not saying that, but they're definitely there.
Right.
In 3-4 weeks from now. Definitely.
Well, and they're definitely dependent at this time of year on the water warming. So, you know,
later. Or water fluctuation.
That's
one thing we have here in Denver is the runoff. It can really screw up a lake because they just pile in water in the reservoirs.
Right. And that's the thing is when, like, you know, now they're dependent, like they go up shallow, and as the water starts to warm, right? So you might find them maybe at the end of the day instead of the beginning of the day because the water has warmed all day. As to where in early summer, the water's already warm, and so they're up there already, you know? And I think that's, water temperature plays a huge role this time of year in that transition. And I think you guys probably found the little bit of warmer water, the more stable temperature water out in that basin, as to where the stuff shallower cooled down with the night temperatures, because they're still fairly cool here, and started to warm up at some point. So, you know.
Yeah, that could have been. We didn't even check the water temperature. I'm telling you, we have fished that area or that lake for years and years and years, that we started there as a starting point, because typically end of April, beginning of May, fish are there, and they were there. So that's, so I couldn't even answer that, what the water temp was, and if it was a little bit warmer there, could have been. But I know something holds those fish year in, year out at that area we went to. Wouldn't you agree, Mitch? I mean, every year we go there.
Totally.
And we've caught a lot of big fish there.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, back to the transition time that we're in, I'd say if we went out this next weekend and got out there early in the morning, we'd probably go shallow first even. I mean, that's where we're at.
We were right there. We thought about it.
Yeah, to where, you know, for sure 2 weeks from now, mid-May, we're going shallow first. We're leaving the basin to, you know, middle of the afternoon if we're going to fish all day or something maybe.
Yes.
But, you know, but we're right on that turn.
Yeah.
Transition fishing's fun. It's fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think the takeaway before we wrap this up is guys really need to pay attention to not only the transition of location of the fish, but how the fish are acting. Like you've talked about, Josh, transition yourself, being open to know where the typical spots are and how their feeding patterns are and what to start watching and what to pay attention to. It's all about the different transition at this point of year.
Yeah, follow the clues. You know, it's you really are like a detective, right? Follow the clues. Follow what they're telling you. And and it may be, you know, they're sliding and following that warmer water, or they're going to be near where the river comes into the, you know, like Green Bay, right? Fox River comes in. They're going to be in that channel area where the river comes in, the south part of Green Bay. And then later on in the day, they're going to push out of that channel up into the flatter, shallower areas off to the sides. So, I mean, that's the type of thing we're talking about is, you know, and change your presentations to be able to fish those.
That's a huge thing this year is this is when we're right now is to where you can start experimenting with different things that you're going to do throughout the year, because that bite is going to change. So, well, I think that's what we're talking about here in transition. We really appreciate you guys listening to this and following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those types of things. And this has been a fun topic to talk about. We're going to have more stuff coming your way. Make sure you're going to alleyesonfishing.com and checking out all of our gear and looking at a lot of our results. And, you know, one thing we've kind of fallen off a little bit is those guys that are not in the Denver metro area, the Colorado area, that do our Go Get 'Em series tournaments or our Colorado Walleye Trail tournament series. We're missing out on the big bite. Guys, we are out right now starting to get a lot of good fish. Getting your youngsters out. It's a big bite. Send that on at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. We want to see your trophy picture. Hell, it could be a 10-inch sunny that your kid caught. Well, a 10-inch sunny would be pretty good size. But yeah. I'm just saying, you know,
I'll take it.
It can be whatever a big bite is to you. Send it to us. We'll get it up on our website. So from everybody here at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.